Session number 10469, Reel 1.
Brigadier Cree, Reel 1. When was it and how was it that you came to go to Burma, Brigadier, in the last war?
The 5th Indian Division, to which I belonged, moved from Iraq to India in 1943. In the spring of 1943. And after spending the next few months training in and around Ranchi in Bihar and Orissa, the division moved down to the Arakan together with the 7th Indian Division.
Can you tell me about the training that you did at Ranchi?
Yes, we concentrated on jungle training. We'd never been in the jungle before. We'd always been in the desert and East Africa. And we were getting the men accustomed to living and operating in jungles.
What specifically did it involve? Can you go into the details?
Well, we had to learn to move by night. The Japanese had shown a remarkable aptitude for moving large bodies of men across country unseen and unknown to us, and they always move by night. So we practiced ourselves in that, finding the way by night through the jungle without making too much of a row. And then we practiced attacking Japanese strong points well hidden in the jungle. They used to have their machine guns in deep dug bunker positions, very well camouflaged, right in the jungle, and you never saw them until you were right on top of them. And they were difficult to overcome.
What set procedure did you have for overcoming them?
Well, when you had located them sufficiently, you brought fire to bear on them with artillery or mortars or aircraft, if necessary, and then attacked them on foot. Finally, one generally had to thrust grenades into the bunker through the loophole to get them out of it. They were extremely tenacious.
Were flamethrowers ever used?
Big one?
Were flamethrowers ever used?
No, we didn't have flamethrowers. Not at that precise point.
So you weren't training with those? What was your own position in the unit at that point?
I got command of the battalion in July 1942 in the Western Desert. And I went on commanding them until the end of 1944.
So you were a lieutenant colonel?
Lieutenant colonel, yes.
And what was the battalion composed of?
We lucky and still had a good core of our pre-war men. When the war broke out, we were in Palestine, and we received a very large draft of regular army reservists, over 300, I think, to bring us up to strength. Well, of course, that put us well over the top in strength, and we began to lose men right and left. They were taken away for every sort of job under the sun. Nevertheless, we were left with a good lot, and our senior NCOs and warrant officers were all regular soldiers of some years' service, and that stood us in extremely good stead for the rest of the war.
What was the name of your battalion?
2nd Battalion of the West Yorkshire Regiment.
Whereabouts did most of the men come from?
They came from West Riding, yes. Leeds, Bradford, Sheffield, were our, and York were our main areas.
And from other parts of Britain?
Yes, there were some from all over. You always get the odd ones from London. There were always a few from London, and then the odd one from Ireland and Scotland. Durham, Tyneside. But in general, more than 65% were from Yorkshire.
How did they react to Indian conditions?
Very well. Quite a number of them had been in India in peacetime, and they knew the form, and they passed on their knowledge to the new ones. In general, they liked India. The soldiers liked India. They liked the life. It was comfortable.
Because of servants?
Plenty of amenities, yes. There was plenty of people to clean your shoes and things like that.
When you arrived in the training area at Ranchi, did you take advice from more senior officers who'd had experience of fighting the Japanese to learn from the mistakes that had been made in fighting them in 42?
Yes, we did. When we got there, that first Arakan campaign had come to an inglorious conclusion. You know, we got pretty severely dealt with in the Arakan, the first campaign, and we lost a lot of men and achieved no success at all. And there was a good deal of alarm and despondency at the time caused by the Japanese habit of getting round behind, infiltrating and getting round behind you and cutting you off, resulting usually in a wholesale withdrawal on our part, you see, and leaving the Japanese in possession of all our stores.
Can you remember the names of the individuals who spoke to you about the lessons?
Yes. So they could tell us quite a lot about that side of the thing, but the thing was, were we going to get over it?
Who were these individuals who spoke to you?
Well, odd people who had served with in the first Arakan campaign. There weren't too many of them, but a lot of it came out in the form of sort of training instructions and memoranda issued by Army headquarters.
So what tactics did they suggest for combating these infiltration tactics?
Well, the answer was to sit tight, you see, and rely on being supplied from the air, which is what happened in the end. If the Japanese got behind you, you didn't withdraw, but you stayed where you were, and the positions were reversed. He was cut off.
So, presumably, psychological pressure played a great part in Japanese tactics.
Absolutely it did, yes. Absolutely it did. We had, on our side, of course, preponderantly Indian troops. And they're more temperamental than British troops. And if they find themselves on the losing side, Indians' morale is liable to suffer, and vice versa. If they start to win, they get better and better.
So the British troops are more phlegmatic?
The British troops are much more phlegmatic. They're much the same, whatever happens. In fact, the worse the conditions are, the better their morale generally is.
Why do you think that is?
Well, they don't get the breeze up. I mean, they don't get panic-stricken.
Who were the West Yorkshire's brigaded with?
In our brigade, 9th Indian Infantry Brigade, we had the 3rd 9th Jarts, an Indian regiment, and the 3rd 14th Punjab regiment. We'd been in the desert with them, but both the Jats and the Punjabis suffered very severely in the desert and hadn't been able to take much part in the latter part of the fighting in the summer of 42. So we were virtually the only battalion in 9th Brigade who was operational. The 9th Jats were very badly decimated soon after their arrival in the desert, and it took them some while to recover. The 3rd, 14th, much the same, but they did recover, and in a most magnificent way, the 3rd, 9th Jats became a really fine battalion. They got a new commanding officer who inspired them, and this training period we had at Ranchi was of the utmost value in restoring morale.
How hard was the training?
Oh, we worked hard. We worked pretty hard, and particularly did a lot of nighttime work.
Who was the brigadier in charge?
Our brigadier was Brigadier Langren, who had been commanding officer of the 2nd West Yorkshires. When he got promoted to the command of the brigade, I got command of the battalion.
How did he spell his name?
Langren, L-A-N-G-R-A-N. He's an officer of the West Yorkshire, and he commanded the battalion, the brigade, up until the beginning of 1944 in the Arakan, and he was then relieved.
Were there any accidents in the training?
Not at that stage. Later on, one poor fella lost his hand with a thunder flash. He was holding a thunder flash in his hand, and he ignited it and failed to let go of it, and it blew his hand off. It was a very nasty mess. I don't remember any other at the moment. The trouble in the training period was malaria.
Could you do anything about it?
Well, we started... We introduced all these precautions about sleeves rolled down after nightfall and sleeping under mosquito nets. And then mepocrine was introduced, and everybody had to take a mepocrine tablet every day under supervision.
Sorry?
Nevertheless, the malaria figures got quite serious, and there was a great campaign to enforce these anti-malaria precautions.
Did you catch it yourself?
I got it, but not until a later stage. I got it after we'd come out of the battle zone, and I'd been taking this mepocrine for ages and ages, and I was absolutely fed up with it. It makes you feel pretty awful. You go a sort of nasty yellow colour. And I said, hang it, I'm going to give it up. So I knocked it off, and a week later I was down with a roaring go of malaria.
Which would you rather have, the malaria or the effects of the mepocrine?
I think I'd rather have the mepocrine, really.
Was the terrain in the Ranchi area, the terrain and vegetation, suitable for preparing you for a battle?
Yes, it was, really. It was not unlike the Arakan. It was mountainous, or hilly anyway, very rough hilly country covered in thick jungle. It wasn't unlike it. The went the rivers and creeks that we've encountered in. Yes.
So it was an area which was rather dry than the Arakan.
Yes. Yes, although it did rain in the Arakan when the monsoon came, you caught it all right. And hitherto, all fighting had ceased when the monsoon came. It was considered impossible to continue fighting, but Mountbatten arrived and said that the war would go on just the same. And it did. that we were able to get through somehow or other was far from pleasant.
Did you do the training in the dry season, or did it go on into the monsoon?
No, we didn't take any notice of the monsoon. We just went on. The order was that the monsoon doesn't exist.
This was in the training period?
Mountbatten had abolished it, yes.
So, this was... What months in 1943 were you doing the training?
43 it was. We were doing it all through the summer of 43. May, June, July, August, September. And then I think either October or November... We moved, the whole division moved forward to Arakan. We went by train, etc., down to Chittagong and then forward into the Arakan.
What kind of reputation did the Japanese fighting man have at that time in 43?
Well, formidable. Formidable. He had this Superman myth still hanging around him, you see.
Was anything done to deflate that?
Yes, propaganda. And the moment we got to grips with the Japanese, that Superman business soon came to an end when the British troops realized that they were just as good as the Japs, if not better, as man to man. And the Indians also. Once they got some success, they just went on from good to better.
Was it difficult to get from Chittagong to the front?
Yes, it was a long journey by lorry. And we went to a place called Cox's Bazaar on the coast, and we moved down by steamer, river steamer, to the Teknaf Peninsula, which is a peninsula at the mouth of the Teknaf River on the Indian Ocean side. And there we garrisoned the Teknaf Peninsula for a month or two over Christmas, 43 it was. And it was rather a delightful place. There were no Japs anywhere there. It was a lovely long beach. Well, it was good bathing on. And there wasn't much sign of war. And then we moved early, very soon after Christmas, we moved across to the mainland of the Arakan and started to develop an attack on Mong Dor. Mong Dor was the port that the Japanese used. It was at the terminus of the Buthidong Railway. From Mong Dor to Buthidong, they had a railway which went through these tunnels, and they supplied their people in Buthidong by sea to Mong Dor and then by train from Mong Dor to Buthidong. And my battalion was given the task of capturing Mong Dor.
How did you set about it?
Well, there's a network of inland waterways down there, not inland waterways, but creeks, tidal creeks called Chongs. And it was thought that if we were to make use of this and go make a landing from the sea, so to speak, it would take the Japs by surprise in Mong Dor and help us to capture the place. So I two companies from my battalion had to do a seaborne assault. We got into these folding boats up one of these tidal chongs and went a short distance by water, then landed and had to pick the boats up and carry them across a long flog across paddy field to the next chong, where they were launched again and the men got in and rowed across the other side and got out and started attacking Mongdor on foot. And that was quite successful. The Japs resisted, but we were able to overcome it, because in the meanwhile I brought up the rest of the battalion, the other two companies. They didn't have to go by sea, but they came across country and they developed an attack on Mongdor too. So by the January 11th we had captured Mongdor from the Japs.
What did you capture in the way of equipment?
Nothing, hardly anything. In fact, it was not very strongly held. The Japs were not intending to hold Mongdor very strongly. I don't know why. But they put up a token resistance and we drove them out.
Did you take any captures?
Any?
Any prisoners?
No, didn't take any prisoners, no. Not that, not yet. I think we captured one Jap flag at Mongdor.
Did you lose any officers?
No, we didn't. We hardly lost anybody in that operation. It wasn't very severe, the fighting then.
What did it do for morale?
Oh, a lot of good. The troops were very pleased with themselves.
What happened next?
Well, we were then told to start moving forward and to send two companies. The Japs were known to be around the place called Razabil, which was in the sort of foothills of the Meru Range. And we were told to infiltrate two companies into the foothills there and test the Japs' reactions. So we sent two companies forward, and the Japanese reaction was instantaneous. They started attacking us. The rest of the battalion, besides the two companies who had gone forward, were holding a sort of defensive position a little further back. And we got attacked fairly strongly, but were able to hold it without much trouble. But then one of the companies that had gone forward got itself in severe trouble. They found that they'd been quite surrounded by the Japs and were cut off and running short of ammunition. So it was decided to withdraw them. So we gave them orders to withdraw as best they might, thinking that they would come after nightfall. But the Japanese fire towards evening seemed to slacken off, and there seemed to be a fire had broken out, a sort of jungle bushfire had broken out near their lines, and there was a lot of smoke about. The company commander decided that he'd pull out then, not wait till nightfall, that he would start withdrawing then, which he did do, but it was much too soon. And the Japs were still there, very much so, and they inflicted very severe casualties on this company as they were pulling out. They got out in the end, but they lost a lot of men.
Which company was that, do you know?
Big one?
Do you know which company that
was? A C company, yes. They were badly mauled. And then they came back and joined the rest of the battalion, and we started developing operations down the coast then. And we're getting on marvellously. A Company took the lead now, and they were doing very well and had encountered quite a lot of Japs and had been victorious at every point. And then all of a sudden the decision was taken from on high that we were to pull right back out of it. They were afraid we were getting cut off or something. So we withdrew back again. The whole battalion withdrew back again in the direction of Mong Dor. We didn't get quite to Mong Dor. But we weren't in any danger at all, really, not as bad as that. We could have gone on down there for a long time, I think. Anyway, we all...
protest against this order?
Big one?
Did you protest against the order?
Yes, I was told no. It came from up above. So we came back again, withdrew a bit. And then we also had to make an attack on Razabil, which was the main Japanese defended position, out defending the tunnels. We put in a company attack on Razabil, but it didn't do very much. It got in contact with the Japs and a firefight ensued, but we didn't take any ground, I don't think. Well, then at this time the 7th Division, which was on the other side of the Meiyu Range, was starting its operations against Buthidong to capture Buthidong, and in order to release its own troops to take part in this, 9th Brigade of 5th Division was placed under command of 7th Division and crossed over the Meiyu Range at the Ngoki Dok Pass to join the 7th Division on the other side, on the eastern side of the Meiyu Range. Not all the brigade, but the West Yorkshires and 3rd, 14th Punjab went, and the 3rd, 9th Jats remained on the western side of the range. We marched over the Ngoki Dok Pass and proceeded to our allotted position, which was in the right rear of the 7th Division. And we got into a position there when I met the Brigadier Evans. Brigadier Langren had left the